Elizabeth Elliot says that God knows the end from the beginning. He loves us, He is wise, He's powerful, and He calls us to put our faith in Him, to set our feet on that rock which will never move. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot. As you put your faith in the solid rock, study the unchanging word with us today. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this time about the conditions for recognizing God's guidance. We all need guidance, and most of us believe that God does sometimes promise to guide people. But very often, we look here and there and try almost everything before we come to Him for guidance. Sometimes we're not sure that we can meet the conditions for God's guidance. Oh, well, I'm not really good enough. I'm not very important. I'm not doing spiritual work. I don't know my Bible very well. How do I find God's guidance? Well, for several days, I hope to be helping you with some basic principles that have certainly been very helpful in my own life. We've been talking about how the shepherd wants to guide and care for his sheep. The shepherd is far more interested in getting the sheep to green pastures and still waters than the sheep, which are very wayward, are in getting there. They rush off here and there, and the shepherd has to constantly bring them back with his rod and his staff. What about a father? A father guides his little child. Is there anything more heartwarming than to see a father holding the hand of his little child who is just beginning to learn to walk? Long before the child can take his first steps by himself, the father is holding his hands and helping him to put one foot in front of the other. And then comes that day when the father steadies the child and then takes a step back and says, "Now come to Daddy." And the little child, because he loves his father and he trusts him, wants to do exactly what his father tells him. If the father loves the child like that, it's unthinkable that our Heavenly Father wouldn't love us far more. It's unthinkable that He wouldn't be willing to show us how to go, what to do. Are you facing a decision today? Schooling for your children, perhaps? Work outside your home? What to do with an aging parent? I've talked to a number of people recently that are facing that very difficult decision. How do we honor a father and a mother whom we've always loved, and yet who seem to need a kind of care that we are unable to give them? What do we do? I can only come to the one who knows the end from the beginning. The first condition for the recognition of God's guidance, I think, is the recognition of who God is. And we talked about that a little in our last talk. Psalm 46 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Do you know how to be still? Have you ever sat yourself down in a chair and set a timer for 5 minutes and tried to be absolutely still until that timer went off? It's not easy, not if you're anything like me. My mind is constantly going in 1,000 directions. And to concentrate on God Himself and try to shut out everything else that would interfere and distract me is hard. Try it. Try being still. If you're conscious of the need for divine guidance, start by being still. Look up and shut up. I'm told that it would be legitimate to translate that verse, Psalm 46, that says, "Be still and know that I am God." It would be legitimate to say, "Shut up and know that I am God. Just be quiet." And the briefest effort to do that reveals how little we control our thoughts. Distractions are just multiplied, aren't they? Sometimes we need to concentrate by opening our Bibles and just take a few words of Scripture and try to think about those. Sometimes a hymn will help. Even very simple words like "Jesus loves me." "This I know, for the Bible tells me so." Prayer. I think of the motto that I'm told was posted in the China Inland Mission headquarters in Shanghai. "The sun stood still, the axe did swim. This God is our God forever and ever." This God who made the sun stand still, this God who can make an axe head float, he's the one who keeps the sun in its course and made the power of gravity, which ordinarily makes an axe head sink, he can suspend the action of the sun and the power of gravity. This God is our God forever and ever. It's his promises that I believe that tell me about guidance. Is he big enough? Can he help me? He knows our frame. He knows our thoughts. He remembers that we are dust. I'm not making this up. I'm getting this out of the Bible. He knows all about me. He made those promises for guidance, and he saw to it that the promises were preserved for us in his book called the Bible, and he calls himself El Shaddai, Hebrew words which mean the God who is enough. The God who is enough. Isn't that a magnificent name for God? The all-sufficient one. So the first condition is to recognize who he is. But even that is a lifetime process. I don't think there's a day that goes by that I'm not a little bit more amazed at who God is, at how big he is, at how loving he is, and how inscrutable. The more we try to plumb the mystery, the deeper the mystery seems to become. Jesus said, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true and living God." And the process of knowing him, which is a lifetime process, is going to modify the quality of our lives. There will be continual fulfillment and continual attraction. It never becomes a static thing to try to get to know God. And this brings me to an explanation of the title of this radio program that some of you may never have understood. We call it Gateway to Joy, and there's a sense in which I believe that literally everything that happens in our lives can be a gateway to joy, because every single experience is an opportunity to get to know who God is, a chance to recognize him, to center down, to be quiet, to concentrate on him who said, "I am." Here, wherever you are this moment, is where God wants to find you. He wants you to find him. Let your fear, your loneliness, your perplexity, your discouragement, or your joy, your happiness, whatever happens to be the mood or the feeling that dominates you at this moment, let that be an offering. And if you make that an offering, and whatever the circumstances which brought that mood into being, an offering as well, if you make them an offering to Jesus, then God can take that thing and transform it into joy. It is an opportunity to get to know him. If you need help, then you can get to know him as your helper. If you're lonely, you can get to know him as a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. If you're filled with joy, then you can get to know Jesus, thou joy of loving hearts, as the old hymn says. Let me encourage you to remember that the present circumstances are designed for this very purpose, so that you can get to know God. Do you believe me? Well, try reading the biographies of the Bible. see how God revealed himself to individuals. See if you can't identify with some of those individuals. Read Christian biographies outside of the Bible. It's amazing to find how easy it is to identify with the people who have known God, even though we don't identify with the height of their spiritual experience, perhaps. It's wonderful to find how it was just in ordinary life that God did reveal himself to these people. Where and how does he meet us? If we're sinners, he comes to us as a savior. If we're sorrowing, he comes to us as a comforter. If we never had the experience of perplexity, how could we know him as a counselor? If we were never afraid, how could we know him as a refuge and a fortress? It is our very weaknesses that give us occasion to call on him as a mighty God, the everlasting Father.
Anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.